listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, my guest and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Our topic today is keeping the love flowing even during the teen years. Our guest is Diane Ingram. Diane is a professional speaker, life coach, and author of the book Listen to Your Heart: A Guide to Living Life on Purpose. She is credentialed by the International Coaching Federation and certified through the Success Unlimited Network. Diane has helped hundreds of clients gain clarity, develop a plan, and take action towards their goals by supporting them in exploring and understanding who they are and what holds meaning for them. She is also a songwriter, dancer, runner, wife, and mother of two teenage son, so she knows what it's like to struggle to integrate all of those various aspects of oneself and have it coalesce into a meaningful, balanced life. She has been successful and is passionate about helping others do the same. Diane, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Well, it's great to have you here. I got a chance to read through part of the book. I haven't finished it yet, but I am certainly enjoying it. Now, I know that, as our children become teens, it is often not cool to hang out with us as parents. Many of us as parents get more immersed in our work, and it gets tough to keep the lines of communication open and the love and connection going. And now it's more critical than ever that at this point in our child's lives for them to know that they have our love, respect, and support as they navigate the terrain from childhood to adulthood. Now, that said, what do you think gets in the way of keeping the lines of communication open and the love and connection going?
Well, I think that when our kids are young, we're required to be kind of managers of their life. We book play dates for them. We create situations where they are going to be stimulated both socially by being around other kids, creatively. We do projects with them, intellectual stimulation. And then when they become teenagers, we have to shift from managing their lives to being more of a consultant. And as a consultant, we kind of allow them to keep taking more and more of the responsibility on themselves, which is how they're going to learn and grow and kind of be prepared to be adults. And if we're not aware of this change in the focus of our parenting, then we can sometimes remain too overly involved in their lives at a time when they really need more independence. Or sometimes we can just say, you know what, I'm done, they're teenagers, they're on their own, and they're not quite ready to handle all the responsibility of being on their own. So I think that's one of the biggest issues. I also think it's a time in our lives when our own careers are peaking, and it requires more time and attention, and so it's a lot for us to juggle, and sometimes we can kind of get disconnected from these teens of ours.
Well, how do we wean off? Because I know what you're talking about from the standpoint of, you've been in their life, you're really establishing a lot of the things that they're doing. You're establishing what you believe are the moral and ethical ways to handle things. But yet, you get to that point, and I know for me, as I was a room dad in the boys' class, for many, many years. And then when it came time for middle school, they said, Dad, we really love the fact that you've been in our class, but we're now in middle school. Can you not do it?
Right.
And then we as parents have to make sure that, okay, let's wean off, but we can't really take that approach of, okay, you don't need me, I'm going to now focus on something else.
Right, and completely forget. Yeah, it's tricky, and that's the hard part. And so I think first and foremost, we have to have a lot of compassion for ourselves because it isn't an easy road to navigate. And I think also we need to really listen to our inner guidance, and that kind of brings me to part of what my book is about, which is kind of cluing into what feels right to us and communicating to find out what feels right to our children and find the balance between, because they're gonna ask for the independence and the privacy, and you know, the shift happens on their part. So it's kind of balancing between what you're comfortable with as far as their safety and what they are requesting from you. And that's something that needs to be addressed all the time. So I think communication is really important to keep those lines open.
Well, and especially with the way the economy has gotten, I mean, do you think it's really become easier to just, you know, when we're given that little bit of an opening, to just focus on our careers rather than focusing on navigating the waters that we need to with our team?
I do, because I think that with our careers, oftentimes it's more clearly defined. You know, it's real cut and dried what we have to do, when we're being successful, when we're not. You know, it's something that we're more familiar with, terrain we're more familiar with. And there's less emotional charge to it because it's not our children. There's a little bit of a distance. But, you know, and the thing with our children is they're growing so fast that sometimes we don't even recognize them. I know my sons, I have two, one's 16 and one's 20, and they're both 6.5 feet tall, and they grew very quickly, and especially the younger one. I mean, he grew a foot in no time at all. He went from being my cuddly, shorter than me son to suddenly I was staring up the ceiling at him, and I think not only did I hardly recognize him, I think he had a hard time recognizing himself. So I think that it's much easier to kind of bury ourselves in our work or kind of turn to that we're familiar with and that's more clearly defined than these changing people that are changing right before our very eyes sometimes.
Now, how important do you think it is that we retain a memory? And I say that because I think there are parents that we run into from time to time, and they don't remember how they were at that age.
Oh, yeah. I think that's another compassion piece. It's like realizing that, yeah, we weren't little angels ourselves, and how important it was for us to separate. You know, one of the things that I understand and I've read in many books is that almost the more sensitive the child is, the more they have to separate, especially as a boy with a mother, because they really need to define themselves and find out who they are as separate from their parents. And if we don't give them the space to do that, then they'll either remain feeling dependent and like they can't do it on their own, which most of us don't want our children to feel like, or they will not be able to find who they are within themselves. And that's a critical piece of self-actualization, of growing up and reaching your potential, is to first get a sense of who am I really and what are my values and where do I stand in all of this.
Well, and I think you bring up a great point, because I know that we end up working with a lot of very successful adults, and it seems that the teenagers the teenagers that are the children of these very successful people seem to have even a greater need to step out on their own and a greater need to distance themselves from that to sort of establish who they really are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, sometimes teens do that in ways that feel unsafe to us, like they take risks. Mm-hmm. And some of those risks are, you know, fast driving or drugs or sex or, you know, those kind of things. And it's scary. It's scary to watch it happen and kind of say how much is okay if they're experimenting and kind of finding where they fit in all that, and how much is really not safe for them to get involved in. So once again, I think it's so critical that we keep the lines of communication open and try not to put a whole lot of judgment in there, you know, because we too needed to experiment and kind of find our way along with things like sex and drugs and driving. And you just kind of have to find it yourself. You can't just hear what the parents have to say about it and learn about those things. So I think it's really important that we try to communicate with them, like the safety issues and our concerns and our love, as opposed to our judgment and being harsh.
Well, I think you're right on target with communication. Now, give us some examples. I mean, how can we as parents strengthen our lines of communication when we're with a teenager that may not necessarily be asking for it, or at least not overtly?
Yeah, well, one of the things that happens that I find is that as my boys have gotten, you know, when my older one passed through this 15, 16, 17-year-old phase, he really didn't want to be around us. And so it was difficult to have good communication because it, you know, most of our communication was about, did you get your homework done? Did you do your chores? Pick up your stuff. Where did you leave your jacket? You know, you're not getting on the bus on time. So it ends up being that's the quality of our communication. So I think that it's really critical that we find ways that we can enjoy each other still. And that's tricky because a lot of times the kids say, you know what, I really just don't even want to spend time with you, like you said. You know, I want to be with my friends. And I think that, you know, some of the old ways that we spent time with our children, even though they may be rolling their eyes, I think that deep inside they're enjoying that. And I also think that it doesn't have to be anything big and fancy. It can just be hanging out, having a meal with them. You know, we've all read places where it says that spending dinner time with our children is critically important to how they become adults because they realize that we care, we've got time for them in our day, and it's a chance to have some relaxed, ideally, some relaxed, loving conversation instead of just, did you pick up your socks, you know?
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned dinner time, one of the things that popped into my head is I recently took my boys on a cruise. And what we ended up needing to tell them was that, okay, you don't have to find us and, you know, and spend time with us the whole time on the cruise. We realize that there's lots of events set up for you and your age group, but you have to be at dinner at 8. So you have to meet us at the table at dinner at 8. We're not going to try to push you. And at that time, we'll talk about the next day and if you're going to go with us, if there's a offshore or an onshore excursion or something like that. But anyway, but yeah, it was the key thing was, okay, look, this is the one thing. We're going to stick with this one thing. And it turned out great. In fact, you know, we all thought it was really one of the best vacations we've had.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I must confess that in our life, you know, I have one son working. They're both in school. You know, this summer they both were working till 8 o'clock at night, you know, as lifeguards over at our local lake. And it was very difficult to have dinner with them during the week. But what we do is we have family night on Sunday nights. And it's sacred. You know, it's like every Sunday, you know, and even when they sometimes had to work till 8 o'clock on Sunday, we would eat at 8 o'clock, which is late for us. On a Sunday evening, and family night is about everyone kind of helping to pull the meal together, us all sitting down, us enjoying each other, and what we do is we go around the table and we have a check-in. And it's kind of imperative for my husband and I, we really try to listen openly, open our hearts, and not put in any comments, judgments, or any corrections. You know, it's all about just receiving who our kids are. What was their week like? What were their struggles? What were their successes? And just trying to enjoy each other because we love these.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to have time with them that's quality time. So that's something that we've done, which has been really terrific. And once again, you know, our 16-year-old sometimes rolls his eyes and says, I don't know what to talk about. And we say, just, you know, just let us know what's going on in your life, you know, where you feel comfortable doing that. And so sometimes he says a lot, sometimes he doesn't say much. But I think it's really important to him and to us to know that those lines of communication are still open. Because then when the moment comes when he does need our support or he does need our advice, he knows that he can come to us because those lines are always open.
Well, and that's a great point. And I know one of the things that we bring up when if we get that, and my boys are 14 and 16, but when we get that type of feedback, it's just a matter of change the question. So rather than what's going on, we'll throw in, so what was the most exciting thing about your day yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, what was the most intriguing thing? You know, or just throw in a different word that sort of makes them realize, first of all, we're still asking them what their opinion was of it or what they thought of it, not necessarily tell us something that you think we want to hear.
Right. I mean, we have done in the past, what was the worst thing of your day? What was the best thing of your day or
exactly.
your week, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they say, well, the worst thing was, you know, this terrible test I had and I didn't study enough for. And so, I mean, we don't have to say anything more about that. It's clearly on the table what's going on. And the best thing was, you know, I don't know, you know, having a maybe having a meal with the family. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to hear?
Yeah.
Getting creative with the questions you ask is fun. You can make it fun.
Right. Even if the answer was getting done with the test was the
best
thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Having it behind me. Well, and we all can relate to that. So.
Absolutely. Now, yeah. And one of the things, and I, as I said, I had a chance to go through your book, of which I'm enjoying. And one of the things
that you
talk about a lot in here, and I really like, is you talk about purpose, values, and one's own place in the world. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, I think that as people, as parents, it's important for us to be clear what our values are, what's important to us. And some of that is kind of stated, but most of it is communicated by our actions and kind of how we live our lives. And we're communicating that all the time to our children. So the more clear we are about what's important to us and the more our lives are designed around that and living out those values, the clearer our communication of those values are to our children. We can talk to our blue in the face to tell them it's really important to take care of your body and exercise, but if we're sitting on the couch being a couch potato every night watching TV and eating a bag of chips, it doesn't communicate so well. So, you know, by our actions, we communicate our values. And also what's meaningful to us, you know, by setting up our lives so that we're living out what's meaningful to us. We're spending time in those areas. And purpose, you know, are we living a purposeful life, one that's kind of grounded in what's important to us, what brings us value and joy and fulfillment, and giving that back out to the world? My definition of life purpose is it works not only for me because it's getting my heart going and opening me up and helping me to feel fulfilled, but it's contributing to somebody else's life in the world, and maybe that's a lot of somebody's according to what my sense of purpose is. So when we're living lives that are aligned in that way, it's a huge message to our kids of how important it is to have this life be meaningful. As far as we know, you know, according to our beliefs, various beliefs, you know, we may not be back this way again, at least not for a while. So how can we make the most of this life and ideally have an impact on other people's lives, make a difference in their lives?
Well, and I couldn't agree more. And I think that for our children to see us really gain pleasure from helping others, for them to see that we see that as part of our purpose, it is giving back, it is helping our fellow man. I think having them see that and see it in such a positive light is really important, because on the other hand, if they're spending all their time watching, you know, MTV videos, what they're seeing is that it's not about helping other people, it's about how much money or how much sex or how many cars you can have or whatever. And so I think it's important that they see that maybe what's being portrayed in another aspect of their life isn't real. And what we're portraying, this is what's real. This is, you know, this is what's going to carry you throughout your life, not something that's maybe a flash in the pan right now as far as your life is concerned.
Yeah, and I tend to think the middle road is good. I mean, I know some people say no television, no, you know, Xbox, no anything that's culturally, you know, questionable. And my feeling is that, and professionally and personally, is that they're going to be exposed to those things. So I want them to have a sense of knowing, like, what's right for them and what's not right for them, and to be able to make a judgment call on that. And so So we have cut back cable so that there's not a lot of, you know, junky TV there, but they are exposed to some of that. They are exposed to computer games and some of the violence and stuff that's involved in that. And it's like, can they find themselves within that and say, you know what, this is not really reality. Reality is what my parents are setting for me, which is the value system that they live every single day when they get up and do their lives. My husband and I run together every morning about 3 miles. And when the kids were young, we had jogging strollers. And so we pushed them in the strollers. And then when they got a little older, my husband would attach this belt around his waist and pull my younger son on his bike up the hill because he couldn't quite pedal it. But we have set that example for them. Now my 16-year-old, he goes to the gym. He doesn't really do much running, you know, but he's been imprinted with those examples of how to take care of yourself. And I'm fully confident that he's got a sense of how to take care of himself in a healthy way, eat good foods, exercise, you know, get his the oxygen going through his body and all those important things, because we've been examples of that. And I know that I speak to a lot of parents who are really frustrated because their kids are, you know, spending too much time on the computer. And then when I kind of dig a little deeper and hear, well, that actually they spent a lot of time on the computer too. So it's just really hard to teach our kids values that we're not living. So I think that the best way to, you know, help them to grow into purposeful living, meaningful lives in adulthood is to be an example of that and to be clear about what that is for us.
Well, and I couldn't agree more. I want to go to one of the listener questions that's come in. This one comes from a parent who says, teens, my own kids included, are demanding more independence but are acting less mature or concerned about their future. Compared to our generation, it is almost a devil-may-care attitude. My eldest is headed to college next year, and I truly do not believe that he is prepared for discipline for the discipline it will take for him to buckle down and make the grade. Is there anything I can do to help him start taking this upcoming new phase more seriously?
Yes, and I think that I've done a lot of reading on this for both personal and professional readings, and there's a book called The Teenage Brain, and what they say in there is that you can kind of explain this only so far with your teenager and talk about this, and, you know, I was just talking about communication. I think that's valuable, but consequences are very important. They're not going to understand responsibility if they're not given it. So once again, it's kind of about, this is what you need to do, and when you show us that you're able to do that, then you get to have certain privileges. And if you have privileges and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, then there are consequences to that. And those are life lessons that we all have learned, ideally. And that it's really important for our children to learn. And I, you know, it's just so ironic because we're actually going through this right now with my 16-year-old. He was a very sensible, he's a very smart kid, and in the past year, every now and then, he'll just do something that we go, what was he thinking? And what all the books say is that they're not thinking because their brain is not developed in a way where they understand consequences, long-term goals, long-term responsibilities. So the best we can do at this time is to teach them that through limitations, consequences, letting them have some freedom and see what they do with it. And if they're not handling it in a responsible way, then pulling back on it. And that's what we're dealing with right now. My son actually started school very young, and because his birthday's in the fall, and he's going off to college next year as a barely 17-year-old. Well, he'll be almost 18, I guess, by the time next year rolls around. It just feels so young to me. And we're saying, you know what? If he's not ready for college, he can stay home and go to community college for a year and mature. But we're going to, you know, and we've told him that. You know, we've said we need to see a level of maturity before we're comfortable having you go off on your own for a year. So I think consequences are really important.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's one of the things that parents miss, is that part of our job, our main job, is to prepare them for adulthood, and it's not to be their best friend. And I think
that's
a big mistake that parents make. And they go, oh, but you know what? I just want to be their friend. And if I was their friend, I would let them do this. Well, you know what? That's not your job.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I find it really, what's come up for me in recent days, actually, is that I don't like the conflict between my children and myself. So when there's an upset going on, I want to kind of get upset and deal with it and then move on. And some of that's good, but some of it's like, well, you need to put certain consequences in place and hold the line and be consistent with those. So that's some of the learning I'm going through, is keeping the consistency of, no, this is what we said. You know, until Sunday, we need to see certain things in place, and then we'll renegotiate on Sunday. So that's one way to deal with it, is setting short-term periods of time where they need to show certain responsibilities, and if they do, great. So you give them a little bit more freedom, a little bit more things that they can do. If they don't, then maybe you cut back a little bit. So it's constantly balancing that between freedom and responsibility.
Well, and I think one of the things, I mean, a lot of that makes sense, but one of the specific things is the short-term part, because I think at that age it's very hard for them to think past tomorrow, you know, much less next week, next month, and we're finding that out as well. So anyway, we're going to take a break. But again, we are speaking with Diane Ingram. She is the author of the book, Listen to Your Heart, A Guide to Living Life on Purpose. Our topic is keeping the love flowing, even during the teen years. We will be right back. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
Trust the source.
Just like so being born again, so be confident.
Don't back down, don't back down for nothing. Face the storm and trust the soul.
I lost my boys.
Yeah, and that's one of the messages we want to get out to all of them is that they were born to win. That was the goal. That's our goal for all of us parents. But then it comes down to us doing our job to make sure that that we're steering them in the right direction. All right, we're talking with Diane Ingram. Diane, let's talk a little bit more about your book. First of all, why did you decide at a time in which you had teenagers yourself to write a book like this?
Well, I think that it's very important for us to discover our inner wisdom. And a lot of us have lost touch with that because there's so much of the culture making loud noises at us all the time. We're in information overload. There's so much coming at us that we lose touch with ourselves. And I think that part of living a fulfilled life is being in touch with that inner wisdom and following that inner guidance. People call it intuition, inner guidance. Listening to your heart is what I call it. I love the metaphor of the heart because that's the center that opens up and receives and gives from. So I wrote this book about living life on purpose because, once again, my belief is that when people have a sense of purpose, they're able to feel fulfilled within themselves, and they're able to contribute their best selves to the world through their gifts, their skills, and talents. And if everyone were doing that, what a wonderful world this would be. And certainly it is a wonderful world, and there are a lot of people doing that. But the more that we can get in touch with listening to that inner guidance system and living from the inside out, the richer our life is and the richer a life we have to give to others.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Now, I mean, what is the biggest message from your book that you think can help us as parents of teens and help the teens themselves?
Well, I talk in there about purpose, so I think that that's a conversation worth having with your children, is what do they see as their sense of purpose, what do they get joy from, and what are those qualities that are important to them. It might be, you know, generosity, love, excitement, wonder, you know, those kind of qualities are all things that resonate differently in all of us. You know, there's different things that are important to us. So when you have the conversation with your children about what are the qualities, what are the things that are important to you, then they can start to get to know who they are and can make choices from that about how do I want to manifest those qualities in the world. You know, maybe it's something they were already doing, or maybe there's a whole new world out there for them to way to manifest these qualities. But I think that that's a conversation that can happen with our kids, even preteen, you know, just to have them start asking themselves those questions. You know, we have a wonderful public education and private education system in this country, but a lot of times they don't address those inner issues of who am I on the inside? And it's critical for them to start asking those questions of themselves.
Yeah. Now, I know that when we're dealing with very, very small children, we go through times in which they say, well, you know what, I'm going to grow up and be Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. You know, and which is fine, and we laugh and we think it's funny because we realize that they're going to grow out of it. But now when they're teenagers and we have the one that says, well, I'm not really going to finish school because I've been playing the guitar now for a year and a half and I'm going to be an international rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we deal with that situation where we're not necessarily crushing their dream, but yet at the same time steering them a little closer to reality?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I would like to say when the little child says, I'm going to grow up to be Spider-Man, there's a conversation there.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, it's very cute, but there's also the conversation to say, wow, what do you like about Spider-Man? What are the things about him that you feel attracted to that you would like to have more of in your life or that you'd like it to express more of? So that's kind of a way to start that conversation, you know, and it might be, oh, he's strong. He helps other people. He helps people who are in trouble. You know, he can climb buildings, you know. He can do superpowers, you know. So it's kind of getting in touch with what are those things that attract you to him without getting too heavy, but just kind of starting the introspective look, starting the conversation, getting the language around, you know, what are those things. And then the child grows up and they love their guitar and they want to be in a rock band or they want to be a professional musician. So how about that? You know, I mean, isn't there a space in their life for that? You know, I have a son actually that I worked with of a friend who said that, you know, he didn't want to go to college. He wanted to be in a rock band. So after I worked with him, you know, he's really genuinely wants to give it a go. So why not? I mean, that's where I am with it. He's 18 years old. You know, why not? College will always be there for him as a possibility. And so right now he's in a band. They've got a record contract. I don't know how far it's going to go. Maybe after a year he'll say, you know what, this is too hard for me. I want to go back and, you know, learn the music business or something related to that. But I do think we're given these desires, these heart's desires and these dreams for a reason. And so some of what we have to get over is it has to be practical. You know, we have to kind of do so, you know, and sometimes that results in these other clients I have, which are 40 and 50 and who say, you know, I went to law school because my uncle said I'd be a good lawyer and I hate it.
Right.
But now I've got a mortgage and two kids in college and I can't get out of it. So that's a much tougher situation to be in. So my feeling is that follow your dreams, you know, and they'll lead you somewhere. You know, at some point you may say, you know, I've had enough of this. This is too difficult. Or maybe you can do something with your dreams. I think we're given dreams for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. And we should try to seek them out. And I know, and kind of dating myself, but I mean, one of the answers that I've suggested is when they're talking about being the rock star is to point out some pieces of information that they may not know and go out and, for instance, that, you know, Mick Jagger has a master's degree in economy, you know, or, you know, something like that, where
mm-hmm.
or other artists that have gone to Juilliard or they have gone to various colleges and really refined their art. And some of those are the ones that have made it. So from the mm-hmm. standpoint of, and at 18, yes, you're going to let them make their own decision. And some of the parents I've talked to have said it's, you know, it's the ones when they're 16 that they want to drop out of school because their band is going to become this international success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, we need to steer them a little bit towards reality, but it's that fine line. Let's get them to reality, but let's not crush the spirit. Let's not crush the dream.
Exactly. So it can be something like, explore your band, see where it can go. But, you know, have a backup plan, finish your education, and have a backup plan so that, because down the road, if you change your mind, you don't want to have to go back to square one. So yeah, we can have, conversations with them to kind of help them find the middle road. So it's not an all or nothing thing. Now, that's really important.
Now, in your book, would this be under your category of shifting perspective, where you're just trying to shift their perspective a little bit, but at the same time keep it very positive?
Yeah, I do think, I think there's room for both. I think there's room for, your dream, and also the other conversation to have with them is what is it you get out of playing in the band? Once again, back to the qualities. What is it you get from your music? Well, I just get so excited, and I just love the camaraderie of being in a band, and I love the attention. I love being on stage and performing and just the acknowledgement. Okay, so we have acknowledgement, we have camaraderie, we have excitement. So those are great qualities that I hear are very important to you. So let's explore many ways in which you can experience those, not to take away the rock band or the music, but just to know that you may at some point want to express those in another way. So let's keep the options open as far as finishing high school, maybe trying some college, and seeing if there's any other ways that might even be more fulfilling for you to express those in. So there's always room to kind of expand upon things. We tend to come from fear a lot and get stuck in, oh my God, my son's going to be a dropout and he's going to go into a rock band, and what happens to him? He's going to be living on the streets, So, to kind of trust and have faith in their inner guidance, because they have a soul in there. They have inner guidance that's speaking to them, and they may not be listening to it wholly, but that's something that we can help them with, as well as expand their vision of what's possible.
Right. When you ask that question, the typical 16-year-old male answer that I thought of was, well, I want to do it because chicks dig it.
Yeah. Well, there's that. Yeah.
Well,
it's hard to have those conversations. It's hard to get some real answers, but just to kind of get them thinking, it's like, okay, so chicks dig it. So how long is that going to be a, motivation? Maybe forever. I don't know. But, yeah.
Well, go ahead.
The other thing that I talk about in my book that I want to make sure I bring up is support, that I think a lot of us think we have to do it all by ourselves, our lives all by ourselves, and it's kind of a dog-eat-dog, type thing. And I think that, it's important to look around and see who in our lives is supporting us in a positive, nurturing way. And if we have people in our lives who are dragging us down, bringing in negative feelings, then we might want to ask ourselves, do I really want to keep this friendship in my life, because it's not supporting me? And so sometimes it's time to kind of move on into friendships that are more supportive. Now, I also know there's family that isn't always supportive, and that's a little trickier, but you can make choices about how much time you spend with certain people if they're really affecting you in a negative way. So by surrounding ourselves with supportive people, we're more likely to people who are also listening to their hearts and people who are also going for the life that in which they feel fulfilled and which they're trying to make a difference, then it all is a win-win, and it just kind of spirals upwards. And once again, that's our kids are watching who our friends are. Mm-hmm. Our kids are watching, our family members and who we're spending time with. They're picking up a lot of information from all those people. So while they may be going through a phase of life of saying, I want to be in a rock band because there's a lot of chicks there, they know that there's a whole other piece of life that's going on because they're seeing it in other people. And they want to emulate the adults that look like they're having a good time in life and they're feeling, good about themselves and making a difference in the world. I mean, how powerful is that?
Right. And you bring up a great point about friends. And one of the things, I think one of the mistakes that we make is when our child tells us about somebody who isn't necessarily being a friend, they're becoming more of a frenemy.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're telling about it, you know, the natural thing for us, I think, is to, you know, go, see, that person's not your friend. That's not the kind of person mm-hmm. you want to hang out with and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's becoming more counterproductive. I think the better thing is kind of what you brought up from the standpoint of ask the question and go, well, how did that make you feel when they did that?
Exactly.
And let them go to the feeling that they had, and they'll make their own decision after they feel that same way the third, the fourth, or the tenth time to
exactly.
eventually realize, you know what, I don't want to be around that person. I don't
right.
like how they make me feel. So I think it's,
right.
it's a great point.
And, yeah, and that's what I started talking about at the beginning, about being the consultant instead of the manager. Our job as when we have teenagers is not to tell them how they should handle the friendship, how they should handle much of anything. You know, it's more to ask the question and kind of consult with them. Well, yeah, how did that make you feel? And by the way, you know, our culture isn't real keen on, and it's getting better, but, you know, addressing feelings, you know, it's more like left brain thinking, how to logically figure things out. And the more we can help, particularly boys, get in touch with their feeling side, wow, I really feel upset about that, you know? And then it's kind of okay. So just allow yourself to feel those feelings and then make a choice, you know, based on, you know, what is that inner guidance saying? What are the feelings saying along there? And what feels right? The more we can help our children become in touch with what's going on inside of them, both emotionally and psychologically and feeling-wise, the more they're going to be able to make better choices, which is what we want them to be able to do. We're not going to be able to be with them when they're adults all the time. So we want them to be able to figure out on their own what is right for them.
Well, and that's great, because and that ties right into another listener, more of a comment than a question. This one says, Alan frequently mentions during his show, catch them doing something good. It says, I have one I would like to share. At our church, my daughter started a mentoring group for younger girls. It was inspired by her own struggle when trying to fit in and contend with the peer pressure of high school. So far, they have 15 middle school kids under their wings. Sarah feels that she has found a calling and now plans to pursue a career in counseling or psychology. I have caught her doing something good, and I'm telling the world.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and actually, as I was reading it, the one thought came into my mind, this is great, this is beautiful, just make sure that you're telling her too.
Yes, and that we're all telling our kids about it.
That's right.
Because that's, yeah, because, I mean, it's never too early to start community service and to start giving back. And once again, you know, it's not in the getting, it's in the giving. I mean, we as a culture, in a consumerism culture, capitalistic culture, we think it's about getting the bigger car, the bigger house, the better vacation. But the reality that a lot of us are discovering is it's not about getting, it's about giving. And the sooner we discover that, then that sets us up for a road of making a difference in the world in a powerful way, the way this girl is. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Now, and again, I want to go back to the book. We're down to about 5 minutes. One of the things I want to touch on the book a little bit more, but in case we run close or run out of time, tell us, I mean, where can somebody go to be able to get the book? Is there a website, or how is the best way for them to do that?
The book is available on my website, which is www.dianeingram.com, and I'll spell that. That's DianeIngram.com. It's also available at Amazon.com. So if you can't remember my website, if you don't have a pen or something, you can write down Listen to Your Heart, A Guide to Living Life on Purpose, and you'll find it at Amazon.com.
That's right. And again, if you're driving out there and you can't write it down, as she said, you can also go to our website, www.answers4thefamilyblog.com. We'll have all the information on how you can get a hold of Diane or how to go straight to the website and get the book. Now,
thank you.
As we speak about the book, one of the things that, and I had just gotten to this part last night while I was reading, and I love it. It's what you focus on is what you get. Tell us mm-hmm. a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, we have these incredible imaginations. we have this wonderful tool, and it's kind of like, what are you using your imagination for? Are you using it to focus on all the terrible things that might happen? Are you using it to think about the things in the past where you were wronged or you got hurt or, was, you know, are you stuck in the past with that? Or are you focusing on what you want to create, what you want to bring into manifestation in the world? Excuse me. And we have a choice. Excuse me. We have a choice as to what we want to focus on. And there's books more and more every day about the power of focusing on what it is you want to create and how that's the first step of creating it. And by focusing on what's important to you, what's meaningful to you, what's purposeful for you, then you start to bring those things and attract those things into your life. So yeah, there's real power in really paying attention to and being aware of, where are my thoughts today? How, what am I thinking about? What am I focusing on? Am I focusing on gossip or, you know, who did me wrong? Or am I focusing on, what do I want to do with this wonderful day I've been given?
Right. And that's kind of what I was getting out of it as I was reading it. And I loved it. You know, again, it's what I was falling asleep to last night. You know, it was so nice, and it reminded me that, you know, at this time in which, you know, there's problems with the economy, and you turn on the television and every news channel has all of these horrible things that are happening, you know, political infighting and all of these things. And I thought, you know, we can't focus on this. We've got to focus on the blessing that we have every day of this beautiful day. I mean, you know, we're here in Southern California, and we've got, you know, I'm here in Southern California, and I've got this great weather. And I was talking to somebody recently that lives in another area, and they were saying, "Wow, I bet you guys are bumming." And I said, "What?" And they said, "Yeah." They said, "You know, we've been hearing up here." They were calling me from the state of Washington, and they said, "Well, we've been hearing up here that you guys have had, you know, not nearly the amount of sunshine that you usually get. That you've had, you know, a lot of, you know, offshore cloud cover and things that you've been having more like our weather." And I thought, what a weird thing to say, that we must be bumming. You know, in other words, we should all feel down over the fact that we haven't had this perfectly ideal weather that we're accustomed to. Are you kidding me? We've still had great weather. And in fact, I've thought it's been a great summer, in the sense that when you do have to go more inland and it's really hot, it's not. You know, so it's all in how you look at it, and all in how you take the information that you've got and say, you know what? We've got a great life. I'm going to be focusing on the part that's wonderful today.
Yeah, I ask my clients to keep a gratitude journal. And it's as simple as just each morning or each evening or both, write down 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for. And it could be, yeah, the sun came out today. I'm breathing today. Or it can be, I love my, you know, my house or my husband or my children, or my children didn't act out this week, you know, whatever. But by you focusing on what you're grateful for, you raise your energy to the level of creation, you know, what you want to bring and pull in, as opposed to being down and low. When you're focusing on what you're grateful for, it changes your whole perspective and just attracts into your life more of that.
Well, Diane, thank you. That is a perfect thing for us to end on. All right, everybody, focus on the positive. One of the things that I like to tell everybody is, seek to catch someone doing something good every day. Diane, again, thank you so much for being here. I would love to have you back. You've touched on some wonderful things.
Thank you, Al. It's a pleasure, and you're doing such good work. Thank you for the good work you're doing.
Well, thank you. Have a great week.
Yeah. Bye. Thanks.
Now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.